Good morning. It's wonderful to be together this morning. I'm so thankful for this opportunity to open God's Word together and to spend some time together. We're continuing our theme in improving our walk. And as you can see, we've started in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, where we are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we started with the idea that we are created for a purpose, and that purpose is the way that we walk in good works. And those good works are unity, that we can be together, holiness, that we can be different in our lives from the sinful world around us, love, so that we can look like Christ, and light, so that we might be transformed from our former darkness. So we've been building our walk, step by step, getting to where we want to be, and today we get Paul's final step, that we can finish building it with the final piece of his picture. So why is wisdom important to being the workmanship of God? And that's the question we're going to try to answer today, so we can walk in wisdom. So our first question we have to ask is, what is walking in wisdom? The Bible spends a lot of time creating a distinction between wisdom of the world and the wisdom of God. And James in chapter 3 tells us that there is a worldly wisdom that leads to disorder. There is a divide there between the people who choose that kind of wisdom. But the wisdom of God leads to life. It leads to peace. So we kind of see a little bit of a united front on the wisdom that God has in front of us. So let's get our text in front of us. Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 15, and we'll see what Paul has to say about wisdom. Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So the very first thing Paul says helps us to guide our thoughts into this text today. With great care, carefully, look carefully for wisdom. Look carefully how you walk. This isn't something that we do by mistake. This isn't something that happens naturally. But wisdom requires care and attention and effort to make sure we get to where we need to be. And we live in a world that does not value wisdom, at least not in the way the Bible does. So choosing to value wisdom makes us different. Being different is not always easy, and so we must do so carefully. And that word great care can also be translated accurately, diligently, or exactly. And I say that to show that this doesn't happen just by accident, but that we must purpose ourselves this morning and always to look for wisdom and to acquire wisdom. And it takes time to seek and understand it. But it is a worthwhile and important effort for us to do. So what do wise people do? Well, how can we see who wise people are? So look then carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Wise people use their time well. And a big part of wisdom is how you use your time. And the word make the most of is to redeem or to buy back, which is a fascinating concept, that time is almost like something that's been taken from us. And now it's our time to purchase it back so that we might use it. It's something that doesn't belong to us in the first place, but it's something that we can acquire and use. But why is it important to pay attention to our time? Why is it important to focus on it? It's because the days are evil. The days are evil. Our time has been taken from us, and now those of us who are wise are trying to take it back, and so we can redeem it to use it correctly. Time is one of the most squandered resources there is. It's one of the most valuable resources there is. But in our world, we take it and we misuse it. We waste it, and we throw it away like it means nothing. The days are evil and full of things that tempt us to waste that time. There are perils and pitfalls that keep us from using our time correctly. And so we have to equip ourselves so that we know what these temptations are, so that we can overcome them to use our time correctly. So our question is, how should we focus on our time? For starters, let's focus on not wasting our time. And learning to not waste your time starts by understanding that time is limited. Read along with me of Psalm 39, verses 4 through 5. O Lord, make me know my end, and what is the measure of my days. Let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath. In verse 4, we have the request, God, make me know my time. Make me know my end. Help me to see your plan for my life. And then in verse 5, we have the realization, my life is short. My life is not as long as I thought it was going to be. My time here is fleeting, and it will be over sooner than I expect. When we know that our time is limited, it changes the way we use our time. It's easy to take time for granted, but when we stop and think about the end of the time that we have, it changes the way we use the time we have. If you have a responsibility to fulfill, whether you're in school or at a job, you likely have a deadline. Even in your own home, you might set certain times that you're supposed to get things done by. And that helps us be productive. If you give someone a project and say you have as much time as you need, there's no deadline, you just do it. It tends to drag, doesn't it? It doesn't work. We tend to not be as productive when we don't have an end in sight. But when we have a deadline that gets done, it helps us to order and to discern our time so that we can use it in the best way. It helps us to be productive in the way that we are wise in using our time. So you can learn to think about our time on earth and when it ends and how it might end before we expect. It might help us to use our time more effectively. So what time do we focus on? Do we focus on the now? Do we focus on the future? There's a huge emphasis in our society of keeping ourselves in the moment, right? Any athlete, after they win an event, they ask them, what were you doing in the event? What was your key to your success? What are you trying to do now? And they say, I'm just trying to keep myself in the moment. People bring up being in the moment as that's the best way to enjoy life. Don't think about being somewhere else. Don't think about anything else. Just enjoy yourself right now. In Luke chapter 12, turn with me there quickly. We're gonna see why we turn here. If you'll go with me and try and find what connects Luke chapter 12 to this passage. Luke chapter 12, we'll read what Jesus has to say in the parable of the rich. Fill in the blank. We'll see. Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But he said to him, Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you? And he said to them, Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And he told them a parable, saying, The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grains and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, Fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This is a fascinating parable that Jesus tells. This man was accomplished. He had a business. He had a plan. He had things stored up so that he could be provided for his future. Where did he go wrong? He did not consider his time correctly. He looked at his time and thought, I am going to put my stock in the present so that my future will be provided for. That's the opposite from how we should look at time. The Christian looks at our time and says, I will put my stock in the future. My hope in heaven, my hope in an eternal life, an inheritance with Jesus Christ. And that guides my present. It's different. And it changes the way that we look at our lives because that is the way that God wants us to look at who we are. When we understand our future, it helps us to measure our present. By the way, this kind of adds some applications for us. There's a limitation to the knowledge that we can find in this world. How good you are at your job, your GPA, your SAT scores, your IQ, those are limited things. They might get you somewhere in this life. They might be helpful for you somewhere in this life. But by the end, if that's all you've got, God said to him, fool. There is a greater way to handle our time where we are measuring our present based on our future. That God is filling our lives because of the promises that we see set for us. And that is what we build our hope on. If I use my life, my living hope in God to build my present, I will have a life that is useful and used to walk with God in wisdom. But if I don't think about my future, and I hope in my present work to sustain my future, ultimately, that life comes crumbling down. And I am failing before our God. Another thing that we use our time well to be dependent on, how to be wise, is to know the will of the Lord. So we understand our time and we use our time well, and then we seek to know the will of the Lord. So if you turn back to Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, back in verse 17. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Wisdom is knowing who you follow. Understanding the will of the Lord, that takes time to know, that takes effort to know, that takes our purposing of ourselves, that we might understand it correctly. Consider with me the Israelites. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 4 through 9, this is part of Moses' speeches to the Israelites before they take the promised land and reminding them of the law after they've wandered in the wilderness. It says, but you who held fast to the Lord your God are all alive today. See, I have taught you statutes and rules as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do them in the land that you were entering to take possession of it. Keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who when they hear all these statutes will say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us? Whenever we call upon him, and what great nation is there that has statutes and rules so righteous as all this law that I set before you today? Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. That verse 6, keep them and do them, for that will be the wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who when they hear all these statutes will say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. The Israelites were supposed to be considered as wise. But what made them wise? Was it their culture? Was it their military prowess? Was it their architecture, right? Was it their poetry? Was it everything of this? No. It was who they followed. They were only wise if they followed the will of the Lord. So this changes how we look at wisdom, by the way. The wisdom is not just so I can build myself a nice life, a happy life, a moderately successful life, that I can avoid some stupid mistakes. No, wisdom is so that I can show others what the wisdom of God is. That the other nations might see Israel and say, that nation, that small little Israelite nation, they're wise. Why are they wise? We can have an effect on the world if we choose to have the wisdom of God. It makes us look different. It sets us apart, and it helps us to be like God. But here's another thing. There are other nations that are bigger and more powerful. There are other nations that if you asked someone of the world, what nation would be the wise nation of the ancient world? You would think that those greater and wiser nations would be wise. And if you ask them specifically, they might say Greece, right? They have Socrates and Plato and all these other guys, right? The guys that you read their stuff in high school and you kind of learned this people had some things to say about the way we live. But where are those people now? Where is Plato now? Where is Socrates now? They're history. And they don't offer eternal hope. Those of us that follow the will of the Lord seek a Lord that has wisdom that has sustained the ages as well. But it also sustains our future. There's a difference because it makes us into people that are different than what the world wants us to be. The wisdom of God is eternal wisdom. It's living and constantly guiding his people. And it's a wisdom that we can count on to be there forever because our God does not change. Jesus says something similar on the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." Both the wise man and the foolish man were able to build a house. They both had some sort of skill. They had some sort of ability. But the foolish man had no future. The foolish man had no future. The foolish man had no wisdom because of where he chose to build his house and what he chose to build his house on. The will of the Lord is there so that anything that we build in our lives will stand because we have a hope in heaven, because we know who our God is, because we are willing to give ourselves to him. Anything less than that, great is the fall of it. What a picture Jesus gives us there. One of the best things about understanding the will of God and understanding the will of God is that the will of God has been made known to us. We aren't left to guess about what the will of God is, but we're left to seek him. The will of God has been made apparent, and his revelation is given to us so that we can know what he wants from us, that he wants our hearts, that he wants us to give our lives to him, that we can walk with him every day of our lives. That our lives can be modeled after the life of Jesus Christ and the death of Jesus Christ and hoping in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the wisdom that God has left for us. What a blessing that we can seek and find. Knock and the door will be opened. Ask and it will be given. God is so good. So a subset of this is that when you seek to know the will of the Lord, and when you are trying to walk in wisdom, is that you will try to be filled in the Spirit. Wisdom is seeking to be filled in the Spirit. So why is being filled in the Spirit part of walking in wisdom? And in the text, there's a contrast in verse 19, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." There is a contrast that where you get your influence from. Are you influenced from sin? Are you influenced from drunkenness? Or are you influenced from the will of the Lord? And the wise man does not try to do some of both. What's the idea of filled? Is there any room for anything else? If you are filled with the Spirit, are you partially filled with something else? Well, that doesn't work, right? That's not how being filled looks like. If you are filled with the Spirit, there is no room for any other influence that can distract you from who God is. Desiring God to fill us, that is a complete image. And that is an image that we should work towards every day. There are three things that wise people do. Wise people sing praises. We've gotten to do that today. Appreciate Mitchell leading us in some songs that help us to think about wisdom. And wise people don't just sing praises. We sing praises to God. We try to give God the glory for what he's done. There he says, in addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. That God is receiving all of the honor and praise that we can possibly give. And that when we do it, that is wisdom. Because what does the fool do in that instance? All honor and praise and glory goes to himself. That the fool elevates himself and makes himself great, but the wise man knows that there's something greater, something worth praising, something worth giving honor to. The wise man gives thanks. The wise man knows that God is the giver of every good and perfect gift, that the wise man knows that God is the reason he is who he is, that all the success in his life comes from a greater source. The fool grumbles. The fool complains. The fool does not see God as giving anything to him, but only sees where he is lacking. We just spent a week in thanks. Only one day of the year do some people think about Thanksgiving. That's foolishness. Wisdom is being filled in the Spirit so that we can always be a thankful people. Because that's what God's giving requires of us. Because God gives so completely, we should be thankful so completely. Then third, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. There in verse 21, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Different versions say fear of the Lord. I chose fear of the Lord because I think that brings us to some biblical concepts that we'll reference here momentarily. The fool exalts and pulls himself up. He makes himself greater than those around him. He tries to put himself at the head. The wise man exalts those around him. The wise man looks to give others precedence, to lift others up, to encourage others, and to give them honor where he can. The way we treat each other is wise, and it's directed by the fear of the Lord. Now remember, when we started this series of lessons on improving our walk, what was our first lesson? Walk in unity. Here we are, submitting ourselves to one another in wisdom, back at where we started. That the unity of how we walk is something that we do together. This is just a side point that is simple for us to remember, that we have to remember that our pursuit of wisdom is not a solo pursuit. It's not something we do by ourselves, but it's something that we seek together. That God has created us as a body of Christians that we can grow in wisdom together so that his kingdom can grow. When we see wisdom in the church, we see growth. When we see foolishness, it can cause despair. It can cause division. The wisdom of the world, that's where it leads. We have to seek wisdom together today. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We have to know who our God is. It causes us to look at each other differently. It causes us to look at him differently. When we fear our Lord and give him the reverence that is due his name, he is going to direct our lives. He's going to help us use our time correctly. He is going to help us know his will, and he's going to help us be filled with his Spirit. So back to our question. Why is walking in wisdom important to our workmanship? It causes you to desire to know the Lord. It causes you to know him and want to know him more. So our admonition today is simple. Choose to walk in wisdom today. Seek wisdom, desire wisdom. That's what God wants us to be. Use your time well and understand the will of the Lord, and you'll be filled with the Spirit. I want to end today by saying a prayer for wisdom. And in doing, that'll be our close. So if you'll stand with me, we'll say a prayer together, and then Mitchell will lead us in a song before we have our Bible drill. Let's bow. Our only only God, wise on the throne in heaven. God, we see your wisdom so clearly throughout the Bible story. You are the God of wisdom and creation, that you created this world and you created your people, and you have made everything so perfectly. You made things to work together. You made things to glorify you. God, we see your wisdom and the revelation of salvation, that you have so clearly shown us what you have for us as your people, that you have given us your Son. You've given us the grace and glory that we need, that we can come to your throne, repentant sinners, and be made clean, be made whole, be made yours. We see your wisdom and how perfectly you forgive us, that we are a different people, changed from light, changed from darkness into light, and made to look like you. Help us to be wise like you are. For God, you are the God of all wisdom, perfect in everything. Help us as we walk, that we may use our time well, that we may understand your will. For you, O God, you give wisdom. From your mouth comes knowledge and understanding. You store up sound wisdom for the upright, and you are a shield to those who walk in integrity. You guard the paths of justice and watch over the way of your saints. Then you understand right. Then we will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. Help wisdom to come into our hearts and knowledge to be pleasant to our souls, so that Jesus Christ can be given the glory in our lives, and that we can be wise in the way that we walk. God, our walk is so important to us. Help us to remember all the things we've talked about over the last 2 months, that as we walk, that we walk in a way that is aligned with your workmanship, as you have created us to be wise and holy people. We love you so much, God. Help us as we worship today. We pray these things in Jesus' name.